The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
We're in the middle of the sugya here of Tekfo Kohen. Let's go back a little just to get some introduction here on what are we talking about. So we're talking about a case over here where you had, it started with the case of the Talit. The case of the Mishnah. Zeo ben ani mitzatiyah, zeo ben ani mitzatiyah, they both come to Beddin. They're both holding on to it, and also one guy grabs it. It's tofes. So the Gemara over there had a question: if he's tofes, and the guy kept quiet, the other guy kept quiet, and then he screamed. So how do you interpret that? Then he protested. He interpreted it as, well, he kept quiet, so shtika kodaan, if he relinquishes his rights, the one that's holding the whole talit now is the owner. What do you say? No. Do you say that at the end of the day he screamed? So why'd you keep quiet in the beginning? Because it was in front of the rabbis, in front of the Beit Din. He figured, you know, they saw everything that happened. So that was the Gemara's question. Tekifa. So the Gemara then went on to another question. Egdesh. Being Magdish the Talit. So the Gemara wanted to say that on the side that you cannot be Matkif, if you would Matkif it, you have to give it back. So for sure it cannot be Magdishit. But on the side that Takfa works, and we know Hegdesh is like Tikifa, because we have the rule Amina Gavoa, Kimisirato the Hijot. So therefore, they're both holding it. And the guy says Hegdesh. Is the Hegdesh Hal or not? So the Gemara's assumption is, if you can make a Tikifa, so then there's a side to say you can make a Hegdesh, because what Tikifa is to a Hidyot, Hegdesh is Amira is to Hegdesh. That was the Gemara's question. So the Gemara tried to be Poshet the Safek. The Gemara tried to be Poshet from the Mesuta. That was the case of the bathhouse. What's the story over there at the bathhouse? There was two guys fighting over a bathhouse, each guy's claiming it's his, and then all of a sudden one of the guys made it Hegdesh. And the rabbis who used to go to the bathhouse stopped going. Rav Hoshaya told Rabba, listen, when you're going to go to Rav Hazda, Kafri, ask him this, what the deen is over with this Hegdesh. Is it Hal? Is it not Hal? So, when he got the Suda, the Gemara says, he asked Rav Menuna. So Rav Menuna told him, it's a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? The Mishnah is by Safek Bechorot. Have a Safek Bechor. What's Pshat Safek Bechor? Have a Bechor Behema Teora or Behema Teme'a or Safek Bechor Adam. Safek Bechor Adam is, you don't know if he's a firstborn or not. Maybe his mother had a miscarriage, not. Safek Bechor Teora. You don't know, also, was it the first? It's not the first. Maybe the first birth was a sack of air, so it's not considered a birth. Safek Behema Teme'a is Peter Hamor. Peter Hamor is Bechor, you have to be Podeh. You don't know if it's Bechor or not. So what the Mishnah said over there, Safek Bechorot, Ahad Bechor Adam, Ahad Bechor Behema, Ben Teorim, Ben Teme'im, Motzim HaVero, Alav Araya. So simply we understood it. If the Israel is still holding it, and the Kohen says, hey, that's my Bechor. Bring it to Ayah, that it's a Bechor. Motzim HaVero, Alav Araya. But, it's also Mashma, if the Kohen was Tokef, if he grabbed it, now it's the reverse. It's almost Mahabiro on the Israel. But whatever the case may be, the end of the statement said, Vitani Allah, Asurin bi Gizah ba'avodah. Regardless, it's still Asur with the Gizot, the shearings, and the working of it. Which really means that the Gemara's question would be on that was that even though the Kohen doesn't have it, but since he has rights to be Tokef, so you see, he has rights to be Magdish. Gemara's assumption is that the Hegdesh is Hal if it's the Mamon of the Kohen. And since it's possible that the Mamon could be of the Kohen if he made Hatkafa, so therefore, that's why the Gizot are Hegdesh. So you see that what? If you could be Matkif, you could be Magdish. So similarly, he wanted to say by the bathhouse. The guy could take the bathhouse, he could be Tokif. Let him be Matkin. So therefore he can be Magdish. Then Rabbah came along and said, no comparison to anything that we're talking about over here. You bring me a case over here of a Hekdesh that's done Mimela. Which means, even if you want to tell me in this case that the Kohen cannot be Matkif, and the Israel has it, still it's going to be Kadosh for the Gizot and the Avodah, because Safek Bechor is Kadosh Mimela. It's Kadosh on its own. But we need to know a case where is the guy allowed to make a Hekdesh on his own? Which means, maybe I can tell you, even if you hold Hatkafa, you cannot make, but still it'll be Hekdesh and Hekdesh Memela. But an Hekdesh that's made by the owners themselves, like in the case of the bathhouse, so could be, it's dependent. If you can make Hatkafa, maybe you can make Hekdesh. So therefore you have no Ra'aya, basically, from the case of Safek, Bechor, to the case of the bathhouse. That's where we left off. Amad Rabba, let's just read those words inside. Kiddushat Bechor Kamart. You bring me Rayam Kiddushat Bechor. Le'olam Imalak, Takfo Kohen, Motziya Oto Miyadur. We're going to tell you that even if the Kohen cannot make a tak, that kafa. Have you seen Achi, Asuni, Mikizab, Abu Dhabi, Kiddushat Ameela, Shani. Comes Meela. Good. Right. But by the Mesuta, by the Bethas, the end Kiddushat Ba'ela al Piv, it has to come, you know, has to make a declaration. Em afim tusema tekfa, en motziin, hekdisha belo tekfa, lo avi hekdesh. De en yachol hekdish davar sheni b'reshuto. Which means, I still have a safek by the masuta, and I'll maybe say, even if it could be tokef, but since it's not in his reshut right now, maybe the hekdesh is not halal, maybe yeah, still have a question. So the Gemara now continues where we left off. Amar le Rav Hanina le Rabba. So Rav Hanina tells Rabba, Tanya de Messiah lach, I have a braita to support you. Okay, what does it say in the braita? What are we trying to support first? So she says, the gabes safek bechorot im takfa kohen motzi miyado. Right? By takfa kohen, by the bechorot, you take it away from him. But that was his whole point. He was saying, what do you mean? Even over there, even if you take it away, it can still be hekdesh. It's not dependent on takfo. I can even tell you over there, takfo, but it's Hekdesh because it's Hekdesh Memela. And I'll prove it to you that that's so. What's his proof? He starts, Asifikot, let's read the whole statement first. It's bright. Asifikot neknasim nadir net asir. V'isal kadatach tekafo kohen en motzin oto miyado amay neknasim nadir nimsa ze potok mamono bemono shel kohen. We're talking about over here sheep. Normally sheep have a rule of maaser behema. You have 10 animals in a pen. You're obligated to give ma'asir. What do? They let them go through the gate. The tenth animal they brand with a red dye, and it's ma'asir be'ema. It's kodesh. Got to take it to Yerushalayim and put it on the mizbeach, and you eat the meat over there by the owners. The owners eat the meat in Yerushalayim. So what happened over here? You have sefikot. How would you have a sefik if the item is obligated or not? What's the safek nashi? The kaman mefarish. Oh, nashi explains from Gemara later on. Besafek pigeon peter hamor. Wow, you had a peter hamor. The first animal that comes out of the mechor of the hamor, you have to be podeh bese. You had a safek peter hamor, so now you will be you podeh the se. The se you have to give it to the kohen. It is a safek. So therefore, the gabe the kohen, the din is, you want to take it from me, Hamotzim Havero, Alavaraya. But now that Sefek, the Kohens, got mixed up in the pen where I'm taking my Maaser Behema. Nashi. The Mafrish Alav Telel Afkura Yisura. Now, he has to separate the sheep in order to take the Yisura off the Hamor. However, Vihu Atzmo, She'en Sarich Litol HaKohen. But he doesn't have to give it to the Kohen. Why? Hamotzim Havero, Alavaraya. Upidyon Peter Hamor Bar Asurehu. In Yesh the Kohen, Yud Petre Hamorim. Let's say that she says a case where a Kohen had 10 Peter Hamors. He inherited from his grandfather that was Yisrael. So Yisrael has an obligation to do the Peter Hamor, and he inherited 10 Petre Hamor. So now he has to designate them and separate and switch the kiddusha for the sheep. Now the kohen has 10 sheep. He would have to take ma'asir from one of those sheep. I mean, don't think Peter, the sheep that you use for the ma'asir behema, I'm sorry, for the Peter Hamor is subject to ma'asir behema. Now she says, shenaflum lebet abi emoisim mefrish alin asara siyin. You have to separate 10 sis to put pode them u'maseran ben shelo, but he gets to keep them because the sheep is his.
Right.
And the ma'asir belongs to him also. He gets to keep it himself. Hilkach safek pinyon peter hamor biyad Yisrael. Now you have a safek peter hamor sheep. That is in the hand of Yisrael. Nichnas ledir. What happened? It jumped into the pen with the other items. Im sh'ar tila'im shelo letasir. V'inavka ba'asiri lipuk. Oh, so what happens? It says, that's the tenth item. If that, let's say that animal, that sefik becomes the tenth, so be it. And you give it to the kohen. So the Gemara says, how is that possible? Continue Rashi. The east al kadatach yesh lekohen sad zichiyabo, which is if you hold that takfa kohen, that if the kohen grabs the animal, he's kohen. So technically, that animal has the kohen has a little zichut in it. That if he would be tokef it, he would own it. Now you're killing two birds with one stone. Because you're giving the Kohen, or you're using Ma'aser, or you're fulfilling your Ma'aser and your Peter Hamor with the same animal. Well, it could be that animal really belongs to the Kohen. If the animal belongs to the Kohen, you cannot use it for your Ma'aser. But it says in the Braita, Asifikot nichnasin ladir letaser. And what? If they come out, in the Chirameh, that would be considered a ma'asir. And even though, the Chaura, if the Kohen has a right to take it, if Tokfokwen, if you're telling me he gets to keep it, so how could you be poter one obligation with another obligation inside the Gemara? Isakadatak takfo kohen in motzito miyado amay nichnasin ladir. How do you let the safek say go into the pen? The kohen has a sad zechiyah. He has a piece of it. And what's going to happen? Nimsaze poter mamono b'mamono shel kohen. You're being poter your obligation of maaser with really the money that belongs to the kohen. Ela you see from here proof positive that takfo kohen motzin biyado. Just like Rabbi wanted to say by the bechor. But the Safek Bechor case, Takfo Kohen Motzim Biyado. But it's still Kadosh because it's Kiddusha Memela. I'll prove it to you, Takfo Kohen Motzim Biyado. Because if it was not Motzim Biyado, we would not allow this guy to use this tenth Adam as a Maaser, because you're killing it, you're using your Maaser with the Mamon of the Kohen.
Abba, yes, Abba Yisrael. If that's your proof, you have no proof. Imishuma lo tisayye. If that's your proof from the Braita, Nemor, you do not have a proof for more for Abba. Why? Hachavi ma'askinan. Because I'll tell you, in the case is talking about this. Kigon delet le'edah tish'avehu. The case is talking about we had exactly 10 animals, meaning 9, and this safek animal. Oh, so therefore we have a manavshach. What's the manavshach? The manavshach. Ibar hayuvahum shapir ka me'asir. That's right. Which means, if this item was really not a peter hamor sheep, and therefore it's obligated. So when you branded it as the tenth animal as maaser, shapir, that's obligated. However, the ilab bar hayubau, and if be'emet, let's say, you're not chayav le'aser, because really it belongs to the kohen, tish'a labas asureninu, then you didn't have to give maaser in the first place, because 9, you're not obligated to give maaser anyway. Which means, yeah, you have 10 exactly. So, miman afshach, really, I can have no raya. Really, I can, you tried to bring me raya from this case, that what? Like Rava, takfo kohen, gotta give it back. You see why? Because if he held takfo kohen, then he's able to be tokev, he's able to hold on to it. So, this here is a sadzich yashimo. How would you be able to be poter your hayuva maaser with something that really belongs to the kohen? Ela takfo kohen in this case, nothing, because I'm a tzima chavero, alav ara'ya, therefore no. So Abaye Kano says, no, it's not so. Really, I could tell you could be that really takfo kohen, he keeps it. Also, in this case over here, how could he use it as maaser then? Because we have exactly 10 animals, 9 obligatory, and this one safik. So Memarashach, let's say this one comes out of the pen as the tenth one. If it's a safek, if it's not a seed that belongs to the Kohen, so it's Ma'asir. And if it's not the seed, and if it is the seed that belongs to the Kohen, so then already you aren't Hayav Ma'asir in the first place, because she only had nine animals. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 lines out. Im bar hayuvahu, meaning, I hay gavra bar hayuvahu la'asure, she pijon zeh la pijon peter hamor shelo. Which means, if this is really not a peter hamor, and therefore the sheep is a regular sheep, hare yesh lo asarat tila'im, he has 10 regular sheep, v'chayav asaran shapir kamaaseh, so he took the maaseh good. And if this really pigeon really belongs to the Kohen, you didn't protect yourself from anything. Why? Because anyway, nine animals, you don't have to give anyway. So therefore, that's the claim that Abaye wants to have over here. So comes the Gemara and says, Hadar Amar Abaye Lab Nitao De Amre. You know what? I take it back. He retracts again. Why? Disfeka lav bar asurehi. Look at Rashi. Lav miltai de amre. Devadai si'ata hi lemur. Oh, let's go back. Really, we have an ayah for Abba. That what? Takfo kohen, he's got to give it back. And that's the case of the safek on the sheep. That what? Takfo kohen, he would have to give it back. Because if the Kohen would have a sad zechia in the sheep, so what's going to end up happening now? All these 10 sheep that are in the pen over here, each one now is a safek. We don't know if it's chayav or not. Because if this is the one that belongs to the Kohen, it's patur from maaser, because it's not his. And we have a law that says, "V'lo aves sadik la'asurinu." We have a law that's an item that's safek. If it's hayav in ma'asir, you're not obligated to give ma'asir from it. K'dekamat la'asurim emanavshak. They call safek hayav, safek patur, la b'nei asurininu. V'afilu echad ika lemar emanavshak. Which means, Abaye comes along and says, no, we have a general rule, accept the rule. Anything that's a safek, if it's hayav in ma'asir or not, is not part of the cat. They're not hayav. Oh, so then we go back. You're telling me Hasifiko Nikhnasim Nadir. Nikhnasim Nadir in order to take Ma'asir. Oh, wait. If it's a Safik, so therefore you would not be able to, the Mishnah would not, or the Baraita would not give a rule that you're taking Ma'asir. Because each animal in this pen over here is this, we don't know which animal it is, by the way, we don't know which sheep, it's not marked. Right. Could be the sheep that belongs to the Kohen. Oh, so therefore Abaye says, really, we have an ayah for Abba. That what? That from the fact that we're telling you to take ma'asir, must be that the Kohen does not have any rights to the sheep. Because takfo Kohen motzi'im miyado. Because of motzi'im mechavero alav araya. And therefore it's not even a safek. That's why this animal goes into the pen. And therefore it's part of the chayuv of ma'asir. But if you tell me that the Kohen had a zichiyah on this item, so now it's a safek. Oh, so I think we're not to take ma'aseh bichlal. So again, hadar amar abaye, lav miltai de amri, disfeka, lav bar asurehi, abayema, that is safek chay ma'aseh, safek b'tura, is not chayiv the ma'aseh, klal. And from the fact that you're telling me that you are mitzterif this animal to the others, in order to take ma'aseh, it must be that takfo kohen motzi miyado, and therefore it doesn't belong to kohen bichlal, therefore it's not a safek, therefore it's totally the Israel's, therefore it's chayav ma'aseh, so we have an ayat, takfo kohen motzi in miyado. Now the Gemara goes on a side point, just to prove, how do you know that a safek ma'aseh is patur? Only Vada is a chayav, how do you know that? It's Mishnah in Bechorot. So what's the guy doing? He's taking ma'aseh from a sheep. He's counting them. They're going out of the door one at a time, right? What happened? Before he got to 10, kafatz echad min haminuim letocham. Oh, one of the sheep on the other side of the door that you counted already jumped back into the uncounted section. Oh. And got mixed up over here. Okay? And you don't know which one it is now. The deen, kulam peturim. All those now are peturim. The ones that left already, they're patur, because they were counted in a legal way. Right. And the ones that now are in the pen on the other side of the door, they're also patur, because you have a safek. Right? Because you have a safek. Kol talin, how's a safek? Oh, the isal kadatach. Well, if you're going to tell me, so that's just proof that sifekot are patur from ma'asir. The isal kadatach. Sifekah ba'asure. Well, if you're going to tell me that, well, no, safek, I have to give ma'asir. Which means, like in the case of a manafshach. A manafshach, give the ma'asir. A safek. If, like in the case of 10, you have 9 and this safek. A manafshach. If that one, if really it's obligated, so the 10th one, that's ma'asir. And if it's not obligated, so you want hayav ma'asir in the first place. If that was the deen, it's not so. Why? Li'asir b'manafshach. Right? Why don't you take a ma'asir in this case? B'manafshach. Di'ibar hayuvahu, which means, let's say, the ptur did not come out. But you had one that jumped over the fence, right? Mm-hmm. Who says that that ptur is going to be the 10th one? So therefore, the 10th one is going to be hayav. Shapir ma'asir. V'ilav bir chayubahu. And if that 10th one is the sefek one, niftar, they'll all be patur, the other 10. Biminyan hara'ui. Because when you started to count these ones in the group over here, you had a minyan that was ra'ui in the deer, before the one jumped over. And therefore, even if at the end this one came out, it'll be patur. That's read Rashi kafatz. Look at the read Rashi inside, boys. It's 1, 2, 3 lines before they get white. Again, what are we trying to prove here? One thing. Safek, ma'aser, it's poter. It's patur, it's poter the whole group. Kafatz ahad min ha-menuim. Hayam ma'aser, hayam me'aser tila'im. He was taking ma'aser from the sheep. ותחיל למנות כשיוצאים בפתח הדיר ועד שלא הגיע לעשרה before got to 10 קפס אחד מן המנויים לתוך הדיר ואינו מכיר או jump back to the other side כולם פטורים בין אותם שיצאו בין אותם שבתוך הדיר ואפילו אין אלף שיצאו even if 1,000 already went out already פטורים why? מניין הראוי כשמנען היה מניין ראוי להשלים. What's that saying?
משום.
משום. Because.
משום
מניין ראוי. What does it mean, מניין ראוי? שכשמנען, when you were counting them, היה מניין ראוי להשלים. All the animals over here were חייב, so every animal that went through was ראוי. ולבוא לכלל מעשר. אמנינה מבחורות, רק אם הייתי לנו מניין ראוי, פותר. Now, ve'otan shepetoch adir, peturim. Ah, so that's what it really means. The ones that are betoch adir, that are in the pen itself, the patur, mishum seh, hame'urav. That's what it's really saying. Yatsu means the ones that are on the other side, even if it's 1,000, it's going to be patur. Because, bottom line, you counted them. And at the time that you counted them, the minyan was la'uy. So whatever made it to the other side, made it to the other side. Now, we still have animals on the other side. Now this animal jumped over. Oh, so this animal jumped over. So the ones that you counted already are patur. Don't worry about that. And the ones on this side, you have a safek in there. So since each one is a safek, if it was counted already, so she says, Dechon asher, ואותם בתוכן פטורים משום זה המעורב, Dechon asher יעבוד תחת השב את המרחמנה, ולא שעבר כבר. It's the ones that are destined to go under the stick, under the door, but not the ones that went under already. V'chol achad minayu sefek kevar avaru. Very good. So, like we said. Now, continue Rashi. V'yis hakadach sefekah. Ti'ika l'mimar m'manavshach ba'el asureh. Shem yaseh ketorah v'chim mitzvah. Which means, if there's a way to fix it with a manavshach, in order to fix the sefek, na'asiriru la'anak debetoch adir m'manavshach. The ones that are in the pen, take ma'asir m'manavshach. Why? Call asara shiyotzin. Put them in groupings of 10. Every 10 that come out. Im ma'asir shelahen bar chiyuv v'kara'uyu kikon shelo yatza oto ha'kofet oto ha'an chapir ka'masir. If in this grouping of 10, this safek guy didn't come out, this safek animal didn't come out, so the 10th one is branded, it's a ma'asir. V'ilav bar chiyuvahu. Meaning, kigon otan asara shiyatza ze letochan ve'en asiri shelem ma'asir, which means, and if in these 10, Let's say the Safek was amongst them, so then they're not Hayav and Ma'aser anyway, because it's only a group of nine. Nifteru min ha-Ma'aser b'minyan ha-Ra'ui. What do you mean b'minyan ha-Ra'ui? Shekeshemana alef bet gimal hayu bedir tela'im arbe shayu re'uim lashnim upotrim minayu. The Amar Rabbah Bechorot, Barim Nashi, Minyan Haraui Poter. What does this mean? That's what we have to understand now. Minyan Haraui Poter. Hayalo Asarat Tilaim. He had ten sheep. Umana Hamesh. He counted five. Umet Ehad. Min She'eno Minuim. One of the ones that you didn't count yet died. Sheila, do you have to recount the five again or not? But now you don't have 10 anymore. So maybe you got to put them back in another group and recount them. So it says, Umet echad min she'en ha-menuim, ha-menuim piturim. The ones you counted, they're done. The she'en ha-menuim mistarfim le-goren. You got to put them back in the goren, in the group. Achal she'ibaldu lo tulim al she'egei ha-zman ha-goren v'yistarfamim elu. Then you have to get them back to another grouping of 10. Aval ha-menuim piturim min-menad ha-ra'ui. Which means, at the time that you counted these five, it was Minyan Ra'ui. There was 10 in the group. Happened to be, after you count them, one of them died. Doesn't matter. It goes to Shbish'at Ha-Minyan. Since Shbish'at Ha-Minyan, it was Minyan Ra'ui. Even though, let's say, something happened to the ones that you didn't count, after those five that you counted are good, V'yalif le'ma'ashir yavor v'lo shkivar avar. The Mish'abat ta'ata shabit v'lo b'yadon la'asir shuv'inu ma'aviru pa'am ha'chiret. Which means, once you passed it through the gate, it's passed. Good. So that also, what does it mean over here? So like, what I'm saying like this. I'll prove it to you that Safik on the sheep, Safik Maser is Patur. What did it say? I don't know, 1,000 sheep over here, right? And they're all going through the gate over there. They're going through. No problem. All of a sudden, one of these animals on the other side that went through already jumped back over. Oh. So the ones that I counted already, I counted. They're done. I don't got to worry about them. I don't got to recount them. Avar ta'ata shavit. The one that jumped over is a sefik. The all sefikim. The all sefikot. So, and what's the deen? They're all patur. Now, I'll prove it to you that it must be patur. Because if you wouldn't say that, I could say that should be hayav with a manafshach. Which means, count 10 at a time. If the 10th one that comes out is not, if the sefik is not within this 10, so therefore, it's Hayab Maser. And if you're going to tell me that what? That it's in the in, and that's the one that came out as the 10th, the 10th one, so it would still be Patur. Why? So we then said the Gemara, Miman Afshach. Di'i Bar Hayuvahu. If it's Bar Hayuvah, so the 10th one is Maser. Shapir Maser. Now, what's the other side? V'ilav bar hayuvahu, if the pitur went out with them, within them, one of the 10, so there's only 9. Niftar, b'minyan ha-ra'ui. Right, because when you counted these 10, or these 9, it was part of a bigger group. There was hayuvim in here. So even though, now when I get, let's say, when I counted 1, and I counted 2, and I counted 3. There were 7 in there that were ra'ui to be mistaref. So at the time that I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, it was ra'ui. Happened to be, all of a sudden, the safek came in. Good. So it's not going to ruin the ones that went out already. Because when they were counted, it's considered minyan ha-ra'ui. So they're going to be patur, miman afshach. The Amar Rava, so Rava held, minyan ha-ra'ui, poter. So long as you counted them, in a way that was la'ui to get to ma'asir, they're going to be patur even though at the end they will not come to ma'asir. So basically, Ela ma'it lach lememar. Oh, so what are you going to say? Why are the tila'im then that are left over indeed patur? The chavra can make this manafshach. So Gemara says, Asiri v'dayam ha'rachman avdo asiri safek. Hachanameh, Asiri v'dayam ha'rachman avdo asiri safek. So too by the case of Pidyon Peter Hamor. Let's go back. But Pidyon Peter Hamor, what am I talking about over here? We had a case. Guy has a Peter Hamor. He's a Safek if the Peter Hamor is a Bechor or not. If it's a Bechor, he has to take a sheep. It's not a Bechor, I don't take a sheep. So what's the deen? So we said, Safek Bechor. That goes into the Megedah. That means the sheep that you're supposed to separate, and you separated it. But you separate on a Safek, you put it in the Maaser pile over there. So what's the deen? You could take Maaser from it. It's just part of the pile. Oh, so what did they say? That's a proof for Rava. What's the proof for Rava? Because must be the queen has no rights to it. Because if the queen had rights to it, how are you being poter your maaser with the money of the queen? Ela takfo kohen is nothing, and that's why if you put it in the pile, that's why it's going to be part of the maaser. If that one comes out, it'll be it's chayav in maaser. That's why it says sefekot nichnasim ladir. And Abaye came along and said that this is the truth. Because if you're going to say otherwise, if you're going to say that the Kohen could be Tokefit, so then this item of it is Safek Hayab and Maaser, Safek Patud and Maaser. If it was Safek, the Mishnah would not have, the Braita would not have let you use it, take it for Maaser. Because Safek is Patur, like we just proven. Ela must be that the Takfo Kohen doesn't take it. Takfo Kohen doesn't work. Therefore, Rabba was right. Okay, we didn't answer the case of the bathhouse yet, but all we did is we established that Rabba holds Takfo Kohen, he has to return it. And now the Gemara goes back. A side point. My Sifikot. Okay, stop. In this case over here, we had a case of Sifikot. I told you the case already. The case of the Sifikot was a sheep that. It was taken on a Safek Peter Hamor. But the Gemara was going to speak that out now. What's the case of Safekot? Idema Safek Bechorot. Which means, it's a Safek Bechor of a kosher animal. Which means you don't know if it's the first, because kosher animals also have a din of Bechor. So it's a regular Peter, a regular kosher animal. So it says, Yiye Kodesh Amarachmana Velo Shekebar Kadosh. Which means, the Torah says by Maaser, Asiri Yihye Kodesh. Things that are not Kodesh now are obligated in Maaser. But things that are Kodesh already are Patufa Maaser. So if you were talking about a Safek on a Behemah Tehoraz Bechor, that's Kodesh. There would be no question to Gabe Maaser. Because that's not Yihye Kodesh, that's already Kodesh. Ela must be talking about a type of animal that does not have Kiddusha. And what does that mean? Ela safik pejon peter hamor. The sheep of the peter hamor does not have kedusha. The peter hamor doesn't have kedusha. It's a hamor. It's a behemah tameah. Utrav Nachman. Davar Nachman. Amar Rabbi Yisrael. Sheyesh to asara safik peter hamor betoch beto. Mafrish alin asara siyin umasirin vehem shelo. Which means the guy has 10 safik peter hamor in his house. Safik. He separates the sheep. And then what does he do with the sheep? He himself can use them. And the Kohen does not have rights to them because Hamotzi Mahavero. All the Gemara just wanted to prove us over here that the case of the Safik, by the sheep, was talking about a Safik sheep, it was a sheep that was taken on a Safik Petr Hamor. Why has to be that case? Because it was talking about a regular Safik of a Behemah Teorah, which is a Bechor, that's Kodesh. There's no din of Maaser Behemah until that's Kodesh already. It says, Asiri Yihye Kodesh. Velo Al Mashi Kvar Kodesh. However, the sheep of a Peter Hamor is not Kodesh. So therefore, must be talking about, that's the Safik. Can you put it in the pile of the Maaser? And the din was what? You can. Why do you put it in the pile of the Maaser? Well, Kharav, the Kohen could take it. You're being poter one money with the other money. That was Abaye's original claim. And Abaye said, no, it could be really that Tekfa Kohen, he doesn't, he has to give it back. Oh, so Tekfa Kohen, he has, like Rava said, Tekfa Kohen has to give it back. And over here, and that's what he said, he has to give it back. Correct. Hadar Amar Abaye, Lav Miltai Damar. Correct. The Sifikah Lav Bar Asurehi. Right, there's a proof he doesn't have to give it back. Because if he would have to, it's a proof that Takfokin has to give it back. He has to give it, because he would not have to give it back, it would be a Safek, and you don't take Masr on a Safek. Very good, I'll go back to the story of the bathhouse. Bottom line. My Havi Ala de Masuta. What is the deen of the Masuta? What is the deen? Tashemad of Rav Chaya bar Rabbi Nina of the Abed of Chazda. There was a story to Rav Chazda. Rav Chazda bar Rav Huna upashta mehad of Rav Nachman. Kol mamon she'en yachol lehotzi'o bedayanim, which means any money that you cannot take it away from the guy with judges, which is betin, cannot take it away. Hikdisho eno kadosh. Therefore, if one of the litigants makes it kadosh, hikdesh, it is not hikdesh. Therefore, this merchatz over here, that it did not belong to the magdish. It was a machloket. This guy saying it's his, this guy saying it's his. And it was not ra'ui al pi betin to give it to one guy more than the other. So therefore, the hikdesh is not halal. She says, "Shenu echolotzio." The high nami the hazinan le then echolotzio bedinim or bedayanim. Shenu raya bedavar enek leshochinu. So he had no raya more than the other guy. So therefore, he gave a rule: any property that dayanim cannot be motziit to give it to one guy more than the other guy, and one guy gets up and makes it hikdesh, it's not going to be hikdesh. Gemara says, "Oh, hay echolotzio bedayanim hikdesho kadosh." Are you telling me that if the dayanim would be able to take it, to give it to one guy, it's going to be like this, I forgot the law of Kay, even though they didn't take it yet? The Amar of Yohanan, Gazav, and Yeshua Ba'alim. We learned this case in Baba Kama. A guy steals an item, and the owner did not make Yush yet. Shinehem enam yukulim nakdisho. Both are not able to make the item like this. Zeh lefish eno shelo. But the Gazlan cannot make it like this because it's not his. And the owner cannot make it because it's not in his birishut. Even though Dayanim would be able to take it out and give it to him. Oh, so you see over here, the Chaura, that not only that, we say, you gave me a rule, that anything you cannot take out with Dayanim, you cannot make a dish. So it's mashma that what? But if you can't take it out with Dayanim, you can't make a dish. What do you mean by the Gazlan case? They can't take it back to the owner, and still he said he cannot make the dish. So the Gemara says, wait. What type of bathhouse you thought we were talking about? You thought we were talking about like a barrel with this water in it, where people use it as a bathhouse, meaning like a metaltin, a movable item? Because a movable item is like a gezela, which means one guy takes it, and it goes out of the reshut of the owner. I could steal a masuta and take it out of the reshut of the guy. However, the masuta mekarkeira askinan. We're talking about a masuta that's actually attached to the ground. Oh, dechi yachol otzia bedayanim, which means if the judges are able to rule to take it out, birshute kaima, it's in the original owner's possession. Because the masuta you cannot move, and therefore the Gemara comes along and says Rashi, the masuta, look at Rashi mekarkei, they call hecha de ite, wherever the masuta is birshut mare kaima, it's always karka is always in the original owner's, but you can't steal karka. Karka is always in the original possession of the owner. The karka in an exilet. You can't steal karka. V'shapir pashtina me'adiyava l'ra'aya aleh hikdisho hikdesh. Meaning, if Dayanim would be able to take it out, if he had a ra'aya and Dayanim would be able to take it out, the hikdesh would be hikdesh. You know why? Because it's his already. It's considered in his reshut already. Ot pa'am. By the case of Gazlan, I steal a metaltalin. Okay? Lo nit yeshua ba'ali. I cannot make an hikdesh lefi she'eno shelo. Vezeinu yachol lehikdish she'eno b'reshuto. Even though dayanim are going to take it out, but still it's not in his reshut. Good, dayanim will take it out, but it's not in his reshut. You cannot make hikdesh, so it's not in his reshut. By the masuta case, if it would be metaltalin, it would be the same thing. Guy stole a masuta, meaning he took this barrel of water, whatever it was, and now the other guy wants to make it hikdesh. We'd say, even though dayanim would be given to you because you have an ayah, you cannot make it hikdesh. Zeh she'eno shelo, zeh lefi she'eno, b'reshuto. Well, we're talking about a masuta of karka. And therefore, if this guy who made it hikdesh has ra'ayot, and dayanim would listen to those ra'ayot, then he can make it hikdesh. Because it's considered in his possession. Because karka is always in the possession of the owner. You can't steal it. So therefore, in a kanameh, the deen would be like this by the masuta. It was a karka masuta, and it was talking about where the one guy says it's his, one guy says it's his, and one guy has more proof, and the dayanim would really give it to him, if they went through with it. Oh, so therefore, it's considered in his possession already. Because it's karka, never left his possession. Therefore, you can't say, Zvezeh she'eno b'reshuto. You can't b'reshuto. Then he will give it to him. It's just a matter of time. When the Betim will get to give it to him. Therefore, the case of the Masuta, the Ekdesh would be, okay, now comes out conclusion. Oh, now we get conclusions. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 cases that we have to conclude. Let's see if we can come out with the right conclusions. Case number one. Shtayim bo'chazim betalit v'takva ahad b'faninu. Two guys holding out the talit for the Betim. One guy grabs it in front of the rabbis. Shatak v'savah. Kept quiet, then he screamed. Maskana, leave it in the question. Give it another answer that question. Give it another two sides. How to interpret the shatika, followed by the sabaha. Next question. Hikdisha belo takva. You made it hikdish without being tokif. Maskana to gemarai, lo hala hikdish. Right? Just like we said by the Minhatz case. Eno kadosh, based on what we just said over by Rav Nachman, kol mamon she'enu yachol lotzio b'dayanim, eno yachol lagdish. And this masuta, kanre, each guy had a claim. Nobody's claim was better than the next guy's claim. So the other guy cannot make it hekdesh.
Movable.
Even if it's not movable, even if it's karka, if each guy's claim is equal, and one guy's claim cannot be taken out with dayanim more than the next guy, it doesn't matter what it is, he will not be able to make it hekdesh. Good. Third case. Bechor. Okay, Bechor. Takfo Kohen, Motsiin Oto Miyado. That was the case over there. Takfo Kohen, Motsiin Oto Miyado. That was Rava. That was Raya. They brought. Abayim has maskim to that. Takfo Kohen by a Bechor. Give it to him. Give it back.
Give it back.
Or back, boy? Because you have a din over here, Safek. It's a Safek Bechor, by the way. Bring a proof that it's yours, but otherwise you grab it, you cannot keep it. Okay. Good. Okay, we go further. Tana. Okay, there's two cases. Now we go through a lot of cases. When it continues. Tana. בתחליפה במערבה כמד רבה בו שניים אדוקים בתלת. Okay, two guys are holding up the talet. Our case. Each guy is saying it's mine. זה נותר עד מקום שידו מגעת וזה נותר עד מקום שידו מגעת. Each guy gets up to where his hand is holding on to. והשאר חוקים בשווה. And the rest, they split evenly. מעווה לרבי אבאו ובשבועה. רבי אבאו made a hand gesture and he showed like this, maybe we pointed to his mouth, meaning ubishvua, meaning you can't just like we learned in the Mishnah that the reason why you have to make a shivua shaluya kodahat tokef etchil havero. Therefore, you're right. Each guy gets what he's holding, and then the rest they'll split. But ubishvua, you got to follow the rules, right? What do you mean? Ela matnitin de ketani de palge bahadade velo ketani zenotel ad makom shiado magat hekimashkahat la. What do you mean? Our Mishnah said 50-50. You split the talit in half. The chaura, how is that possible? It should say, he gets whatever he's holding, he gets whatever he's holding, and whatever is in the middle, they split. How? Give me a case in the Mishnah where it could be exactly 50-50. Amar papa, ditfise bekar kishata. You know how they were holding the talit? By the fringes. So therefore, each guy's holding it by the fringes, so therefore, you split it. What else are you going to do? You split the talit. Right? Nobody's holding more of the talit than the next guy. It's not like this case where one guy's holding the two-thirds, one guy's holding one-third, and then the middle part of the talit is not being nitfas. They're coming into... So that now, when you think of the picture of the Mishnah, interesting, look at the book, the picture, you should really see two guys walking in holding a talit by the fringes. That's the case. Amar Rav Mesharshia, from Inna, what do you learn from over here? Okay, you know what Kinyan Sudat is? Let's just review Kinyan Sudat. We're making a Kinyan. I want to sell you something. Okay? So, I want to transfer my item to you. So, you give me a Sudat. I hold on to this. I make a Kinyan in the Sudat. When I make a Kinyan in the Sudat, my item transfers to you. The Kone makes a Kinyan and the Mukher makes a kinyan, makneh, and it moves to the next guy. How do you make a kinyan sudar? You hold on to the sudar, to the handkerchief, let's say. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, based on what we just learned, two guys holding on to the talit, right? We say, this guy gets up to where his hand is, so we look at it as if it's cut.
Right.
We look at it, whatever the guy's holding, it's separate. We don't say that he's holding on to the talit, he's holding on to the whole thing. No, whatever he's holding on to, as if it's cut from that point, and therefore it's in his hand, and this guy, whatever he's holding, it's cut from the talit, and then the rest, they split. So you know what I can learn from there? The Gemara says, "Shema Amar Rav Shai Shema Mina Hay Sudra Kevan Tafiz Be Shalosh Al Shalosh." As long as the guy holds on to a 3x3 itzbaot, the minimum amount of a kinyan of the sudar is 3x3 itzbaot. Small amount, you hold on to it. Karinan Be Venatan Re'ehu. That's considered already kinyan sudar based on pasuk Venatan Re'ehu. Even though the rest of the sudar is in the other guy's hands. Dichman Defsik Dame Vekane. We looked at it as if that chelik of the sudar that the makneh is holding, we look as if it's cut from the rest of the sudar, and therefore we look as if he's holding the sudar, and therefore he is makneh. Therefore, svinatan dereehu. Therefore, the mekach goes through. How do we know that from our Mishnah? Shnayim ochazim betalit. Each guy, whatever he's holding, is considered his. And the other guy is not considered muhzak on that item, bichlal. Which means, whatever's mine is mine. And I don't say, well, the other guy's holding it also. No. Whatever I'm holding is like it's cut from the talit. And whatever he's calling cut from the talit. So similarly speaking, when the guy gives me the sudar so I can make the kinyan, all I have to do is hold on to three itzvaot of the sudar, and I consider as if it's cut from the sudar itself, and the kinyan is made. Good?
Yeah.
Good. Good. The reason why it says 3x3, because it has to be a bigot. It says shalaf ish na'alo v'natan re'ehu. Just like in the old days, you used to do with a shoe. So a shoe is a bigger bigot, but it has to be a bigot. What's the smallest shoe of a bigot? 3x3 is ma'ot. Good. Yeah. That's that case. Okay. One more case over here. Gemara says umay shena midrav chazda. Oh. Question. We had this in Gittin. Tamar of chazda. Get biyada or mishicha biyado. Guy gives a get to his wife. She's holding on to the get, he's holding on to the string.
Ooh.
There's a string attached. Now, what does it say? If he could pull the string and pull it out of her hand, then it's not migureshit. But let's say it's a weak string, then if we pull it, the string will break. Migureshit. Now, what's the difference? Even if it's a strong string, bottom of what she's holding on to is considered cut. And therefore, even though he has a string, it should be okay, it should be hers. Gemara says, Hatam kiritut ba'inan veleka. Haka nitina ba'inan ba'ika. By get, it's not a din only nitina, to give the get. It says, vechatav la sefer kiritut. It's got to be something that's cut. No strings attached, literally. Mashenken here you need a nitina. By kinyan sudar, what does it say? Shalaf ish na'alo venatan lere'ehu. Nitina. So even though he's holding on to the other part of the handkerchief, so what? Nitina you have. But by getin you need more. You need a kirita. Amarava. Imaita talit muzhevet. Oh, you have a gold talit. Gold strings there. Holkin. Okay, you divide it. Why not? Pshita. What the talit's made out of? This guy's holding one pot, this guy's holding another pot. Yeah. If it's made out of gold, holkin. Lo tzirika dekad dahaba bimatse'eh. Oh, which means it's talking about where the gold is in the middle of the talit, in between where the guys are holding. Oh, hana mipshita. So, you know, what's the other chance? Split the talit. And then what? In the middle, you split as well. No, lo tzericha de mikarev legabehad. The gold is closer to one guy's side than it is to the other. No, so he wants to say like this. Mao de tema de amarle pelog hache. Cut the talet widthwise. If you cut the talet to the width, he's going to get more of the gold. Because the gold is close to his side. Who told you to cut it widthwise? Cut it
lengthwise,
and therefore each guy will get the same amount. Which is, you would have thought.
Which way to cut it, right?
Yeah, depends how you cut it. means if you're going to cut it widthwise, it's closer to my side. So therefore, he's going to get the gold. Right? He's going to get the gold. He gets if. Right? So, Kamashmalan, no. Was that fair? The gold talit, you split it equally. Therefore, you divide the talit lengthwise, so each guy gets half the talit and half the gold as well. Look at that. She. Before we go to the next case, I tell him muzhevet. Come on, afilu him muzhevet. Even if it's made out of gold, even holkin plug achel lerochba v'yehazav lehad mehem kamashmalan plug leorka. Okay, one more case. Tanu banan. Oh, famous case. Shnayim adukim b'shtar. Two guys are holding a shtar. You have a malve and a love. Now we know what they're going to say. The malve is going to say, I dropped it, this guy still owes me the money. Right. The lover is going to say, it dropped from me, I paid already.
Right,
I got
it back.
Right, I got it back. Yeah. So Gemara says, adukim b'shtar, two guys come in, malve and lover, they both go out to the shtar. Malve omer shiliyu, it's mine, when I found the minimum sativ, it fell from me and I found it and he owes me. Velove omer, listen what the lover says, yeah, shilchai. Who? I'm not arguing, I'm agreeing there was a loan over here. However, but I paid you up already. And therefore it fell from me. And therefore, it's mine. Yitkayem ashtar bechotmav. So the din over here is, you gotta go make kiyum ashtar. Which means, Beit Din's gotta verify the witnesses on the shtar, and they gotta write a note that we verified the witnesses over here, that the kosher witnesses, that it's not a forge. Okay, and then what? Once you verify the witnesses on the shtar, he gets paid. The malve gets paid. We don't know why yet. We'll see why. But he gets paid. Okay? The verb B. A bunch of them. He says, no. You split it. Look at Ashi. Kasal kadatach, the haki kamat. Imashtar kasher. She yikaimu hotama, meaning you'll validate the edim. Lomar ktav yadenu, hareu b'haskato. Right? Hazakat Ashtar is that it wasn't paid. What's the Hazakat Ashtar? Hazakat Ashtar is it was not paid. Therefore, so long as you can verify that it's not a forge, put it back on the Hazakah, and the Maveh gets it. Good. Continue. Nafali Yad Dayan. Sounds like if the judge found the Ashtar, Lo Yotziu Olamit. He puts it in the box forever. Which means Safek. We don't know what. What's the difference between the judge finding? Nobody gets paid. Rabbi Yosef omer areu b'chazkato. Rabbi Yosef says no. Chazkat Ashtar was not paid, and even if the judge finds it, you give it back to the malveh and let him get paid. Okay, now we're going to explain this all brighter. Ready? Amar Mor. Itkayem Ashtar b'chotamav. So mikayem the Ashtar. Vegabele malveh kule. So I made kiyum of the Ashtar. So what? So the Ashtar is not a forge. But bottom line, two guys are holding on to the shtar. Why should the malveh now get full payment? Again, shtayim adukim b'shtar. So would you tell me to be come kiyum on the shtar? Make sure the shtar is not a forge. Let the edim testify, or let the betim write a henpek on it to say we testified that the witnesses are okay and all that stuff. Right. So smash the be saying what? Give it to the malveh, let him get paid full. What do you mean? Two guys are going to a shtar. He doesn't know the mishnah. Ve'lef the man itim shtayim uhazim. Shtayim uhazim betalet. What's the deen? Yahloku. Why automatically give it back to the malveh? It's a good question. Amarava, Amarav Nachman, be mekuyam, which means if the shtar already was mekuyam, meaning there was a hint pick on it already, there was a certification on it already, devreakol yahloku. Then everybody yahloku. Which means two guys are holding a valid shtar, hey, they're both holding on to it, yahloku. Between the malveh and the malveh. Kipeligi b'she'eno mekuyam, where the shtar was not yet certified, and now they're both holding on to it. Now, what's the logic? We say, Rabbi Sabar mode b'shtar sheketavo. The love is mode. Yeah, I know. I wrote the shtar. He's not denying there was no loan over here. He says I wrote the shtar. But what is he saying? He's saying I paid it. Sarich lekayemo. So such a shtar, you have to get Aydin to certify the shtar. Because what? As long as the shtar is not mikuyam, the loveh is ne'eman to say parati. Understand what I just said? So long as the shtar is not certified, he's ne'eman to say, oh, don't worry, I'll tell you I wrote the shtar, no problem. But I'm ne'eman to say, I paid. Ve'im mekayem le. Oh, but let's say now they go on mekayem the shtar palig. Then already they have to split it. Ve'ilo mekayem le. But if they don't mekayem it, lo palig. He doesn't have to pay anything. Ma'ay ta'ama haspa be'almahu. The shtar without a kiyum is a piece of pottery. Man kam mashveh le ha'ishtara. Who made the shtar worth something? Loveh. How come? No, the loveh's admission that he says, I wrote it. I owe the money. How come? Ar de pariyar. He says, I paid. A shtar without kiyum. What's the shtar worth?
Nothing.
Nothing. Who made it a shtar? When the loveh said, yeah, I'm bidding, I did borrow the money.
I paid.
So the same guy that's making the shtar into something is also saying, I paid. So in a case, yeah, something like that. Which in a case, if the shtar is mikuyam already, and they both pick it up on the floor, they're going into bed din like this, shtar mikuyam, the din is yahlokum. Good? If the shtar is not mikuyam, also then the din is, let him go to bed din, let him go make kiyum on it, and yahlokum. No. But if they didn't make kiyum, then the loveh is believed in totality. He doesn't have to pay anything. Why? Because he's the one that made the shtar, and he's the one that's saying it was parua. The shtar without the loveh's admission, is it worth anything?
Nothing.
It's a shtar without kiyum, it's not worth anything. So the loveh is saying, yeah, the shtar is legal, I owe the money. And at the same breath he's saying, what? And I paid it. So he's believed. Oh, the Rabbi Shlomo Gamliel Sabar, Modeh b'shtar sheketavo, en sarich lekayemo. Wow. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel argues. He says, a shtar, once you admit that you owe it, you don't need kiyum. Finished. And therefore, now that you're both holding on to the shtar, yachloku. So let's review now through that. Not kiyum. Because you're admitting that the shtar is a good shtar. You made the shtar, I don't need kiyum now. And now you're both holding on to it. Sefik. Sefik, split it. Now let's read the Rashi to get all these cases. Look at Rashi. B'mikuyam, shekatuv bo henpek. Henpek is the certification. Sheyatza kevar bebetin. Uchvar yidu edim al hatimat yadam v'kotvim adayanim bo. Shtara denan dishta nafak v'asidu peloni uploni hatimat yadayu. And these witnesses testify on the shtar, on these signatures. V'ashim kadminu kadahazeb. Meaning, if it's a shtar that was b'mikuyam already, kol ha'ama lo pelig diachloku. When we say go to the Beit Din to make kiyum, never the malve is going to get full payment. Which means, if the shtar is mikuyam and they both pick it up, and if they pick it up and it wasn't mikuyam and he went to Beit Din, and it was mikayem it, also yahloku. So where's the machlok din Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, Ban Shimon, in a case where they picked up the shtar and it wasn't mekuyam and the loveh, and they weren't able to mekayem it, and the loveh came along and said, oh, don't worry, I agree the shtar is a good shtar, but parati. Oh, Rabbi says the one that makes the shtar is the one that is believed to say paid it. Therefore, he's off. He doesn't have to pay. Whereas the Ban Shimon Gamliel says, no, you admit to the shtar, finish. You don't need a kiyum. The shtar is a shtar. Now we have a safek, because you're both holding on to it. Now yachloku. So the machloket is in the case where the shtar was found without kiyum, and they did not mekayem it. If they were mekayem it, yachloku. If it was mekuyam already, yachloku. The machloket is in one case. A shtar that shnayim shadukim bayim?
It wasn't established.
It wasn't and they didn't establish it. What does Rabbi say? Rabbi says, hold it. You gotta believe the loveh. Without the loveh's words, the shtar is nothing. So you believe his words to make the shtar a shtar, so you believe him to say parati. Rabbi Shulchan says, no. Once already he says the shtar is a shtar, it doesn't need kiyum. That's like a kiyum.
Right.
Good. Now they're both holding on to it.
Yachloku.
Right? But once the shtar is mikuyam, he's not ne'eman to say parati.
It's not enough for that.
Right. Therefore, when two guys are holding on to it, then already we say the deen is yahloku.
So his admission is
Here, Rashi says, "Avam meshashtar muhzak al pi aydav." If the shtar is muhzak already, in a lovin neiman lo mat parati. Continues. Nafal liyad dayan lo yotziu olamit. So we said that, let's say a shtar fell from the hands of the dayan. So you don't know if it's from the love or from the malve. So the din of the braita was lo yotzi olamit. You just have to leave it, and nobody gets it. So the question of the Gemara is, it's dafka where the dayan dropped the shtar. So the Gemara says, "Maishin aliyad dayan," which means the chaura. What do I care where it fell from? Whether it fell from the dayan's hands, the shtar, or for that matter, if it fell from anybody. Why is a shtar that got to the dayan and it fell from him different than anybody else? As he says, "Maishin aliyad dayan taplan miishacher." The Gemara says, "Hachi kamar." Ve'achar shematza ve'echad, or hachi kamar achev shematza shtar shenafan liyad dayan. So the case is talking about like this: that anybody that found the shtar shenafal liyad dayan ve'echidame. What's the case? The katav be'henpek. Which means the shtar already had on it henpek. Nashi. Haki kamar ve'acher, meaning she'enu loveh ve'lo malveh. Till now we were talking about either the loveh found the shtar, or the malveh found the shtar, or they're both holding the shtar together, loveh and malveh. Now we're talking about acher. Somebody else found the shtar that already got the betin. How do we know it got the betin? Because it had a henpek on it. It had a henpek. What's henpek? Henpek already makes the shtar mekuyam. That's a certification that the shtar is not forged, that the witnesses are kasher. So in that case, it's lo yotziu olamit. In that case, over there, lo yotziu olamit. You don't do anything with it, so you don't give it back to any of them. Rashi says, lo love velo malve. You don't give it to the borrower or the lender. Ad sheyavu Eliyahu or edim shera'u miyad min hafal. Until you have witnesses that can testify who it fell from. So it says, "Velo mebaya lo katab behenpek." You don't have to tell you a case where there was no henpek in the shtar. The ikar memar katab lelavot velo lava. That's for sure. You're not going to give it back to the malveh, because if the shtar is not certified yet, I can say that the malveh or the loveh wrote the shtar, but he never borrowed the money. Because when you're writing, the loveh writes the shtar, and it could be, or the malveh wrote the shtar, but he never gave it to the loveh, never handed it over. So for sure, when there's no henpek, for sure you're not going to give it back. Ela afilu katab behenpek, the mikuyam, or the hadush of it, even if they say they wrote henpek, which means that the shtar is mikuyam, lo yahzir, the haishina and the pedaon. That's the Tarakama's opinion, haishina and the pedaon, that we're concerned that what? Maybe it got paid. So again, the case is talking about over here, you found a shtar. The shtar, who found it? Not the malveh or the leveh. That was the first case, where they're both holding on to the shtar. Some guy found the shtar, it fell from the dayan. You don't know exactly who it belongs to. It doesn't belong to the malveh, it doesn't belong to the leveh. So the Gemara says, lo mebaya, if it doesn't have a henpek on it, for sure you don't give it back to anybody. Because maybe the shtar was never executed. Maybe they just wrote the shtar, but they never actually lended the money. So that's vadai. You don't give it to anybody. The hadush, even if it has a henpek on it. Oh, what's the Tarakama's reason? If it has a henpek, so it's a legitimate shtar. Give it back to the malveh. No, haishina and the peraon, we suspect that maybe the loveh paid back. If the loveh paid back, so then, so again, very important to remember, Tarakama Shita is haishina and the peraon. When you find a shtar in the street, and it's even as a henpek on it, you have to suspect that already it was paid. And therefore, give it back to the loveh, and therefore, rip it up. You don't have any, you cannot collect from it. Why do you suspect it? Because he suspects the penawan. Now she says, "Shime emet torena love she penawan." The guy's claiming he paid it, so you believe him because that's why he says, "Why hashin le penawan?"
Why should you think anymore that it wasn't paid?
Yeah. You don't know where it fell from.
Because the dad has it.
Right.
Leave the money where it is.
Yes, leave the money where it is. He's agreeing there was alva'ah. He's saying he paid it. You found, you don't know what it belongs to, so it could be it's paid.
It fell from the band's
pocket. And, no, and it fell from the Lover's pocket, which is the Malveh gave the star back to the Lover after he paid, and he dropped it.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Yosef Omer, Hareu b'chizkato, v'lo haishinan l'peraon. So the Yosef argues. He says, no, the star remains in Hazakah. Hazakah, the star, it wasn't paid. And therefore, lo haishin al peraon. And therefore what? Rashi, demand mehadre le star parua le altar zahir be le kor'o, velo mashele. Exactly. If it was paid already, the lover would have ripped up the star. The lover does not keep a star open, because he knows somebody that could collect it again. So from the fact that you found the star and it wasn't ripped up, must be it wasn't paid. So we have a famous machloket over here between Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef. Are we choshesh for pira'on or not? Okay? We're explaining that case is, again, the Dayan gave the star a hinpek. It fell. A third party found it. He doesn't know. Does this belong to the Loveh? Does it belong to the Malveh? Tanakama says, Lo yotzi olamit, which means you do not give it back to the Malveh. Because his rule is, when you see a star and you found it in the street, you assume that it was paid. Therefore, you don't give payment again. Unless you can bring edim that it wasn't paid, or you know, other proofs. But from the status, when the Loveh says he paid it and you found the star, lo haishina, I'm sorry, haishina and the piraon. We assume that it got paid. Rabbi Yosef argues. Rabbi Yosef says, no, if it was paid, the Loveh would have ripped it up already. When the Malveh presents a star and the Loveh pays it, what do they do with the star after? The Loveh takes it and tears it up. From the fact that he didn't tear it up and it's still around, must be it wasn't paid. So the Rabbi Yosef says, lo haishina and the piraon, therefore you give it to the Malveh when you find a star under the Shulta Rabim, and let the Loveh Malveh take payment. So now the Gemara is going to go for a little while over here now, just to understand these two shitot. But just get clear, I wrote it down just so I could see it in front of me. Tanakama holds haishina and the piraon, and the Rabbi Yosef says, lo haishina and the piraon. Get that mean? Tanakama holds, we choshesh that it was paid, and the Rabbi Yosef says, no, we don't choshesh that it was paid. Now the Gemara is going to ask a contradiction. Gemara says, ולא חיישינן לפיראון ולא חייש רבי יוסי לפיראון. You told me Rabbi Yosef doesn't choshesh that when you find the star that it was paid, if you give it back to the Malveh, ולא חיישינן, and he doesn't suspect. We have a braita. והתניה מצא שטר כתובה בשוק. You find the כתובה. The כתובה is a star. Right? You find it in the shuk. בזמן שהבעל מודה, when the Baal is מודה, meaning that he didn't pay it. Okay, for the Baal's mode, they didn't pay it. Yazir li'isha. Of course, you give it back to the lady. Give the lady a chance to collect. En ha'Baal mode, which means he comes along and says, hey, I paid it already, and it fell. Mm. Right? Which means, the lady holds the ketubah. When the man pays, when the man pays the ketubah, she gives it back to the man. And he's saying, listen, I paid it already, and it fell from me. So the deen is, lo yachzir, lo lazeh, velo lazeh. So nobody gets it, which means, lo lazeh, velo lazeh means that hashinan, that maybe it was paid already, and you don't give it back to the lady. But the biyose omer, oda tahat ba'ala, which means, if they're still married, he makes a haluk. If they're still married, or that this happened, yazid leisha. So then you give the ketubah to the lady. Say they're married. So Mr. Mayer didn't pay the ketubah. Give it back to the lady to get the payment. But she says, the law of Yiddish, take ketubah kodim girushin. A person doesn't give ketubah when they're still married. So if they're still married, Mr. Mayer didn't pay the ketubah. So they'll give the ketubah back to the lady. However, nitarmela or nitgarsha, if let's say they were in the state of either she became a widow, he died, or they got divorced. Lo yarzir, lo lazeh, velo lazeh. Rabbi Yosef says, what? Do not return it to either one. Oh, why? Haishina and the piraon. Because you suspect that what? That the husband paid it if we do not give it to the lady. What do you mean? We learned in the other braita that the Bia says lo hayish lepiraon. So we have a contradiction between the two statements of the Bia. By a shtar, regular shtar, not a ketubah, that fell in the Rishut Rabbim, we say what? Lo chayshin on the piraon. We don't suspect that it was paid, if we give it to the malveh, let him collect. However, by ketubah, they found the ketubah in Rishut Rabbim, the divorced, or the almana. So what do? You do not give it to the lady, because we're choshesh. Yeah, it did get paid. So make up your mind. Are you choshesh for piraon or you're not choshesh for piraon? Gemara says, no problem. You have to switch it around. Ipuch. Which means switch the first case. Not the case of the ketubah. Switch the first case around and therefore make Rabbi Yosef the opinion hayshin on the piraon. So just like Rabbi Yosef by a regular shtar is choshesh for piraon, and therefore he's going to say what? Don't give it to anybody. Same thing by a ketubah, it's going to be a choshesh piraon. Therefore, don't give it to anybody. And the Gemara touched the ipuch. Nafali adayan lo yotziu olamit devrei Rabbi Yosef. Hachamim omrim areu b'chazkato. And now it comes out that it's the hachamim that say lo hayshin the piraon. If we're going to give it back to the malveh. Oh, yachi kashet rabbanan et rabbanan. Because now you can have a stira from the rabbis to the rabbis in the ketubah case. Because what did the rabbis say about the ketubah case? The rabbis say what? Hayshinan. And over here now you're telling me that by ketubah they said hayshinan. And no, you're making an ipuch, correct? And therefore by the case of shtar. The rabbi is just, you switch them around. So you tell me, lo chayshin on the piraon, therefore you give the shtar back to the malveh. However, by ketubat isha, the rabbis clearly said chayshin on, and therefore you don't give it back to the lady. So make up your mind, the rabbis, you may have a stira. Gemara says, shtar ketubah kula Rabbi Yosef. Rabbis were not even mentioned. Change the whole ketubah case and don't even put the rabbi's opinion at all, so it won't be a stira, and make it all Rabbi Yosef. How? En ba'al modeh means what? That what? He says parati. If he says I paid it, lo yazi lo lazeh ve'lo lazeh. Then don't return it to anybody. He says he paid it already, so don't give it back to the lady. Only when there is a divorce, where we can assume that the ketubah was paid. But if they're still married, all the Rabbi Yosef holds, when they're still married, you don't assume that the ketubah was paid, then we give it to the lady. So therefore, basically what happens over here is, there's no rabbi in this baraita of ketubah, make the ipuch over there, so Rabbi Yosef normally says, chayshinan lepiraon, and therefore, by ketubah, it's the same thing is as well. If you find the ketubah on the floor, and there was a divorce, and there was a widowhood. In that case, we assume it was paid, therefore give it back to the husband, and therefore the lady cannot get divorced. Hayshinan de piraon. The biyose is consistent with the shita. We ipuch them in the case of a regular shtar. Therefore, just like in a regular shtar, where you find the shtar on the floor, and there's an pick on it, you got to assume that what? That it was paid, and it fell from the malveh, which means, I'm sorry, it fell from the hashil piraon, and that it was paid up already, therefore give it back to the right. No, give it back to the loveh. Not the land of loveh. Give it back to the malveh. Let him rip it up. Let me get rid of it. We assume that it was paid. Which means what we basically did over here in the braita is we adjusted it. So there's no stida between the rabbis from one braita to another braita. All the Yosef is talking. And the Yosef is coming along to say, Oda! If they're still married, when you find the ketubah on the floor, nobody pays the ketubah when he's still married, so you give it back to the lady. However, if they're divorced, so then already, in that case over there, divorced, you got to assume what? That the ketubah was paid, because Rabbi Yosef the Shitato holds Hayshinan the Piraon, therefore, do not give it back to the lady, so she cannot come and collect it. Again, that's consistent with Rabbi Yosef, right? The number one, that said, when you find a shtar on the floor, and it is impic, and it's a good, and even if it's not impic, you assume that what? That it was paid already? Therefore, you give it to the loveh, or you get rid of it. The point is, you don't let the malveh collect it again. Hayshinan le pira also. Just like Rabbi Yosef Hoshesh pira on by Ketuvat, it doesn't let the lady collect again. So to my regular style, doesn't let the malveh collect again. The BOC is because that's one way of answering the stira. We're going to have another way now. Rapapa Amar. Rapapa says, Le'olam lo tipuk. Don't switch the first braita. So therefore, go back to braita number one when you found the star in the street and make it like we learned earlier. Tanakamaz Haishinan the Piraon. And the BOC, Lo Haishinan the Piraon. Therefore, give it back to the Malve. Oh, we have a contradiction. So Gemara says, no problem. The BOC, the Devrehem, the Rabbanan, Ka'amar, Lehu. Which means, the BOC in the Braita by Ketuvah is talking the Shitat Hachamim. And we read it like this. Lididi. According to me, afilu nitarmela o nitgarsha name lo chayshinan lepiraon. Which means, according to me, I'm never choshesh that the ketubah was spent. Even in the case when they got divorced, I always say give it back to the lady. In the didi, I'm consistent. Lo chayshinan, just like when you find a star, with a loan star, a regular star with money, who do you give it back to? Lo chayshinan piraon, you give it back to the malveh. I also, you find the ketubah, you always give it back to the lady. Lididi, doesn't matter, even in the case of divorce, even in the case of she got widowed, I say what? Give it back to the lady. Because I'm consistent. I hold lo chayshin on the piraon. But according to you rabbis, that generally hold chayshin on the piraon, that you suspect that it was paid. However, at least admit to me in one case, admit to me at least in a case where they're still married that you should give it back to the lady, because you're holding the rabbis hold what? No, you always hashin on the piraon. Therefore, even when they're still married, don't give back to the lady. Come on. So the B.O.C. says, listen, you want to argue with me in a case where there's a divorce? Okay, yeah, hashin and no hashin. But at least admit to me, when they're still married, give it back to the lady. Why would the guy pay a ketubah already when they're still married? So admit to me at least on that case. So therefore, this bright over here is the B.O.C. talking the shitat hakamim. So you can't ask me a contradiction from the B.O.C. to B.O.C. The B.O.C. really holds consistent. Don't ipuch. Lo chayshin al-pira'on. Just like you always give the star back to the malveh, you're always going to give the star back to the lady. But he's coming along to Hakamim. At least admit to me. You don't want to admit to me when there was a divorce. Fine. But when they're still married, admit to me, she give it back to the lady. To that, the rabbis will answer him. The amru le-rabbanan. Imur tzrare. You know why? I suspect that maybe he gave her money when they were still married. He put it like in a little pouch and he paid it in the ketubah already. She was by her. Which means she don't want to now get involved if he dies and she has to fight with Yorshim and get the money. So he did her a favor. You know what? Here's the prepaid. Here's the ketubah in a pouch over here. God forbid something happens or it's divorced. So that's what the rabbis say. Maybe he prepaid it. Therefore, Rabbi said, I need to argue with you. Even in the case, tahat ba'ala, we don't give the ketubah back to the lady, because we're choshesh, maybe tzarara atfesa, maybe they put it in a pouch and paid her. That's the rabbi's shita. Maybe he prepaid it. So comes the Gemara and says, third answer. Ravina amar le'olam ipuch kamaita. Go back. Go back and say, really, make an ipuch. The ipuch is that means tanakama lo chayshin on the peraon, and the biyose chayshin on the peraon. Oh, so now the chaura, we have a contradiction between the shitot. Because again, by the case of a regular, now we're ipuch, I'm speaking out again. By the case of a regular star that fell on the floor, Rabbanan say lo chayshin on the peraon, if we always give it back to the malveh. And the biyose says chayshin on the peraon, you don't give it back. However, by the case of ketubah, they said the opposite. So again, the B.O.C. that says Hashin and the Piraon, and therefore why you don't give it back? So too by the case of the Ketubah, he says don't give it back. But Sheikh, according to the rabbis, if you ipuch it, lo Hashinan, that means what? A regular star. You don't give it back. Lo Hashinan, the Piraon, you give it back to the Malveh. So why did the rabbi say by Ketubah, you don't give it back to the lady? So you have a different reason. Ketubah is another chashash. Ve'tamad Rabbanan. Oh, Tamad Rabbanan. The reason of the rabbis. Haka. Mishum da'ayshinan. Lishte ketubot. Rabbi Yosef. Lishte ketubot. Lo haishinan. What is this business of shtei ketuvot? Look at Rashi. Le'olam. That big Rashi there. See, le'olam ipuch kamaita. The kashag Rabbanan the Rabbanan. Oh, now we have a contradiction. No tikshim. The ta'amai the Rabbanan b'ketuvah. Lav mishum da'ashinan le'pera'on. But that's the reason. Because we're at lo haishinan. So lo haishinan le'pera'on. So the chaura, you should always give it back to the lady. Demand de parava adal leshtara le'altar kara'ale. She's the rabbi's opinion is lo haishinan le'pera'on, because if the shtar is still around, it means it wasn't paid. Because the rabbis hold, if it was paid, they would have ripped it up. So Rabbi Shita. Oh, so then why then, if the ketubah is still around, you should give it to the lady? You know why you don't? Why would have just a stick of the word? Shema Hazar veKatav leKetuvah Acheret Shniyah leAchar Shenaf laZot miYada, which means they had a ketubah. The ketubah got lost, right? They lost the ketubah, and we know it's a suit to live with a lady without a ketubah. So you have to chashish. Maybe he wrote her a second ketubah. Now she's holding the second ketubah. So now what's going to happen? You find this ketubah on the street. Don't give it back to the lady now, because you're going to give back to the lady. She collect. Twice. Mm-hmm. She'll collect from the husband, and when the husband dies, she'll go to the Yorshim, she'll collect again. So the Rabbi Yosef, he said, Hakamim are holding in this case, it's different. Normally, a regular shtar, no chayshir and lepiraon, you give it back to the malveh. And really, normally, you should follow suit, and you find the ketubah on the floor, you should give it back to the lady. The reason why you don't give it back to the lady, because in the case when you lose a ketubah, guy doesn't want to live with his wife without a ketubah, you're not allowed to live with his wife without a ketubah. So Mr. Mahi wrote another ketubah, and now he gave it to this one. That's why she only took ketubot. So therefore, don't give it back this ketubah. So that she says, "Ena ba'al modeh dektani la be'omer parati ena be'omer al tahziru la," which is when the guy's coming along and not being modeh. He's saying, "I agree, I didn't pay you the ketubah yet, but don't give it back to her because I gave her a ketubah already." Which means he's admitting he owes the ketubah. But he's saying she has one already. She has another ketubah. Don't give it back to her. So therefore, there's no question against the rabbis against her. So basically, we have three answers. I'm not going to repeat the three answers to you, but I'm going to explain to you the skeleton of this Gemara just so you have a concept of what took place. You had a stira between Rabbi Yosef and Hakamim by a regular case of a shtar to the shtar to the case of a ketubah. So one answer was making ipuch on the regular shtar case, and in order to reconcile Rabbi Yosef with Rabbi Yosef, one shita said, what she does is kula Rabbi Yosef, keep it the same, and just make everything like Rabbi Yosef. And
third one.
No, that's the first answer. First answer was make an ipuch and make the brayta by ketubah all like Rabbi Yosef. So there's no stira from the rabbis to the rabbis. Second shita is la papa lo tipuch kamaita. Don't switch the first brayta. And Rabbi Yosef was explaining the shitat Hachamim, and the third shita is Rabina Ipuch Kamaita. Oh, so you have a stira against the rabbis. Not a rabbi, the shita. Normally the rabbis will hold Lo Chayshinan, the Piraon. And then we should always give it back to the Malveh. How come I can't give it back to the lady? Chayshinan is Shteketuvot. We learned above on Amud Rishon a situation where Shnaim Adukim Bishtar. Two guys are holding on to a shtar. Two guys coming to the Betin, they're both holding on to a shtar. Okay? According to Rabbi, Ena Malve Gobe Klum. Kozeman Chelo Kimo. Oh, that's the question. Let's get the case again. You have a shtar. Nove Malve, they're both holding on to it. Come to Betin. And what happens? Each guy's saying, the Nove is saying, the shtar is a shtar, but I paid it already. The Malveh is saying, what do you mean? This is my shtar. It didn't get paid yet. So then we had a machloket in such a case. Big machloket, it's very important to notice machloket. It's tam in shas. Modeh b'shtar shelo kimo. How do you look at that? When the Loveh is modeh on the shtar, but the shtar itself does not have kiyum. The kiyum is from the word of the loveh. The witnesses were not verified. But the loveh is saying, no, the shtar is a legitimate shtar. I did borrow the money. So Rabbi holds a shtar that was not mekuyam, that the loveh was modeh to, but he's also saying, I paid it. He's saying, I'm modeh that there's a shtar, it was not forged, but I paid it. So Rabbi holds like this. He made the shtar, and therefore he breaks the shtar. Which means the shtar only has validity based on the words of the loveh. Without the loveh's admission, the shtar is hasma ba'alma, the shtar is a piece of pottery. So therefore, the one that makes the shtar is able to also be believed to say, I paid it. Whereas Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel holds, no. He holds that once already the loveh is maskeen that there's a shtar, so that's already like kiyum, and therefore the you split it yahloku. He doesn't say, "What do you mean? I was mekayem it, and therefore you believe me on the other part." No, you were by admitting that there's a shtar, now it becomes a sefek, and therefore they have to split the shtar. He owes you 1,000. He says, "I paid it." So therefore, that's a split it 500, whatever. I'm not going to give you the formula how to split it, but you split it. So that's a machloket. Modeh b'shtar shelo kiyemo. According to Rabbi, you pay nothing because I made the kiyum. I said I paid it. He's believed on both. The one that makes the shtar can break the shtar. And according to Rabbi, no. You don't have to make it. That's kiyum already. Yeah. Now it's like there's a kiyum. Thank you for mekayeming the shtar. Now we have a machloket. You say you paid it. You say you didn't pay it. Therefore, you have to yachlok on the shtar. They're both coming in again. They're both coming in the bed, you know, holding the shtar. So now the Gemara is going to discuss which part of the shtar are they holding. There's two parts of the shtar. There's tofes and there is toref. Okay, toref is the chelik of the shtar that all the details are on the shtar. The name of the loveh, the name of the malveh, the amount that was the loan, the date. Okay?
Yeah.
That's called toref. Toref is written at the beginning of the shtar. Okay, that's the main part. At the end of the shtar, they write a tofes. Tofes is like a review of the... review.
Summary.
Okay, summary. And therefore, this is so-and-so loaned whatever, $1,000, so on and so forth. But the ikar of a shtar is the toref that has all the real details. Like I said, the date, which is the ikar, the date of the loan, the name of the borrower, the name of the lender, and the amount. So now the question is, when they're coming into betting these two guys, who's holding what? Because each guy's being tofes, part of the shtar. So the Gemara says like this, Amar bi el-Azhar, bi el-Azhar says, that which you said, Yachloku, Bishishnehem adukim betofes, Ushnehem betoref, which means, they are both holding on to both parts of the shtar, Bishnehem adukim betofes, either they're both holding on to the tofes, or Ushnehem betoref, or they're both holding on to the toref. That's she. Machloket. Hay yachloku. The kamar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The mash machlokim b'shave. Kach shamati. Which is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held. You split it. That shita that he said split it. Ushneim adukim betoref. Kelomar. Oshneim adukim betoref. But betoref gilui shel shtar. Toref in Aramaic means. The word toref means gilui, revelation. The revelation of the information of the shtar is in the toref. Makom aloveh, v'makom aloveh, v'malveh, v'maot, v'zeman, tofes sh'ar kol lashon hashtar. Very good. So therefore, each guy is coming in and holding to the tofes. Each guy is holding on to the toref. Aval, echad aduk betofes, v'echad aduk betoref, ze notel tofes, v'ze notel Toref. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the Olam Holkim. Now, we don't know what that means yet, but Rabban Shimon Gamliel, the way they're explaining it, who's talking over here? Rabbi Elazar, that if one guy's holding the Toref, one guy's holding the Tofes, each guy gets what he's holding. What does that mean? We have to see that sheet. Demai de tafistideu. We have a rule. Hazaka, ma shetachat yado shel Adam, shelo. You're holding the Tofes, we give you the Tofes. We're not going to cut and give you a piece of paper. We'll see what you do. And this guy gets the Torah. Can you tell him? Say no to him. Come, she don't make God. Say no to him. Ule kamam mefarish lemay mivayle. The Gemara is going to say, what do you give him the tofes? What does he do with a tofes? What does he do with a toris? The Gemara is going to explain what that means. And Rabbi Yochanan says, holdki. Now the Gemara says, okay. Rabbi Yochanan says, holdki. It's mashma what? Even when one guy's holding on to the tofes, and one guy's holding on to the toref, you always split the star. So in Rabban Gamliel, in a bunch of Gamliel, he said, Yahluk, Rabbi Al-Azal limits the case where each guy's holding on to Tawfis, each guy's holding on to Torif. But if they're holding on to each one respective to a Tawfis and a Torif, each guy gets, he gets Tawfis, he gets Torif. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even in that case, Holki. So Gemara says, V'afidu echad aduk betofes, echad aduk betoref. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, even if one's holding the tofes, one's holding the toref, yahloku, v'atanya, zeno til ad makom, shiado magat. We learned that, wow, when two guys are holding an item, each guy gets what he's holding in his hand, like the talet case. Each guy gets what he's holding in his hand. Lo tzericha dekai toref bim metzayet. The case is talking about over here, where the toref is in the middle. Which means, Rabbi Yochanan is not coming to argue on Rabbi Elazar, he's coming to give a different case. Which means, this guy's holding one part of the shtar, this guy's holding the other part of the shtar, and the toref is in the middle. So each guy's holding really tofes, and the toref will have to split. Look at that sheet. The kai toref bim mitzayet. Umora marchada, umora marchada, velo pedigi. So Gemara says, Iachi mai lememra. So what's the chadush in that case? We learned this case earlier by the golden talif, which means this guy's holding over here, right? And the toref is closer to his side. He's only holding this area. And he's holding the other side over there. So now what do we say? Yahloku. Now if you're going to split it widthwise, so each guy, the guy that's closer to the toref is going to get the toref, and the guy is going to lose out like any toref. So therefore the Gemara says, Ma'udetem amale plog hacher. The guys come over, split it widthwise, and I get the Torah because it's closer to me. Who told you to split the star widthwise, lengthwise, and therefore each guy will get a half of Torah. Again, we'll see exactly what they're going to do with this item, but that's the Hadush of Rabbi Yochanan. Different case, which means if each guy's holding on to Tofes, each guy's holding on to Torah, that's already the way Rabbi Elazar came along and said, we have the machloket. However, we mean that's when the Rabbi Shmuel is going to come along and say, yahloku. But what? If one guy's holding Torah, one guy's holding Torah, then each guy gets what he's getting. And Rabbi Hanan says, oh, by the way, I'll give you another case. If let's say the Torah is in the middle, the Hadush over there, we just split it lengthwise, so to speak, and if each guy gets a piece of the Torah. Amal Rav Hamad Ibn Rabinah, the Rabbi Elazar Dama, Zenot El Torah, Zenot El Torah. Lamale. Oh, what is he going to do with the tofes alone or with the toref? Which means you're not allowed to collect the shtar with a half of paper. So therefore, you get the toref, you get the toref. What are you doing it? The Gemara says, V'chi latzur al pisnuchoto tzarich. What is he going to use it as a bottle stopper? Which is, what is it? Is a cork? Which means you're making such a big deal over here. You get half, you got half. What's shayach? I cannot collect money with half a paper. So what? They ripped the shtar in half. Okay, Zach Baruch, you were holding to the tofes, it's yours. What are you going to do with it? Stick it as a bottle capper? So amale, the no, lidme. No, there's a monetary value over here. Which means there is a value for a toref and there's a value for a tofes. In the sense like this. The one that's holding a toref, first of all, let's go. You could sell shtarot. People buy shtarot. Because it's a payment. So I'm willing to pay a certain amount of money. I'll give you the money up front. I have the shtar. And I get paid. Of course, you never sell the shtar for its true value. You sell less than its value, but that's the way you sell the shtar. Now, the one that has a toref, the toref is more sellable because it has more information on it. It has more details like a date and things like that, as opposed to a tofes, which is a less value on the market. So the Gemara is saying, this guy's holding toref, this guy's holding tofes, so zenotel toref, zenotel toref, then yan ma, well then you can cut a shtar and never, you're not going to gain anything by cutting a shtar and never giving each guy half a shtar and using it as a bottle cap, nobody needs it for that. And the Gemara says, lidme, which means the guy that's holding the toref is going to get paid the difference between the Torev and the Tofes, which is worth less. A shtar that has zman in it, how much is it worth for the market? Udlit bezman, if it doesn't have zman, how much is it? That's why it's more valuable. But if it has zman in it, the collector can even go to real estate, because you know the date already. So therefore, when he sold properties after that date, you know there already is a lean on it. So therefore, I'm willing to pay more money if I know I can collect it. It's guaranteed payback. I go even to the real estate. So therefore, the idach lo gabim mishabede. A star without zman, you cannot collect from mishabede. Yehiv la'iach de beni beni. Let the guy holding the tofes pay the guy that's holding the toref the difference of the value. Which means I could sell a star with a toref. With his man for $1,000 on the street. Let's say it's $1,000 loan. Okay? I can never sell the stuff for $1,000. Even if it's a regular star with everything, I don't sell for $1,000. Why would I pay $1,000 to go collect $1,000? But I'm willing to pay you $500. Now you give me a star.
The star's not cut.
No one's cutting a star. No, they didn't cut the star. What are you going to do with a cut star? Use it as a bottle cap? We're falling off that. We're saying that really, this guy gets the torif, this guy gets the torif. Doesn't mean you cut the star in half. It means the value. Of imagine there was a star with zman, and imagine there was a star without zman. So the guy that's holding the star with zman, he can fetch $500 for the star. The guy that has the star without zman, he can only get $400 for such a star. So therefore, he has to pay him the difference. He'll pay him $100, and that's the way you make the calculation. Which means the one that's holding Torif and the one that's holding Tofes, each guy's claiming the star is theirs. Each one's claiming that what? He's claiming you owe me the money. He's claiming to prolong that what? I don't owe you the money. So you split the difference between how much a Torif star is worth on the market and how much a Tofes star is worth on the market. Look at Ashi. Ashi says, "Lidme ma'alim bedamim kama toref yafem and a toref in tofes." Next Ashi, "Shtara diit bezman kama shave." The toref adif metofes. Diit bemakom azman. Diilu shem malveh valoveh vamaot ketuvim af ketofes. Names of the malveh and the loveh and the number of the loan is written in both parts of the shtar. She sarich lazor me'anyanot shel shtar b'shita harona. The last line of the shtar, they review the whole terms of the deal. Vuikar kedet number babatra. Katubo menemala mane ulmata matayim elmala matayim ulmata mane akol olek ara hatachton. Not only that, the bottom line is that's what we call bottom line is the ikar of the shtar. Negabe the terms. Okay, avaz man lo mahadar. You don't review the time. V'im mishum hatimat edim diu ta'ata tofes ha'itul rashbag modeh b'shvot shkatov en tzarich lekayimo. Oh, you're going to tell me what you mean? The tofes is much more valuable because it has edim. The edim are signed on the bottom. So we're going according to Banshu Yomiyah. Banshu Yomiyah says, in a case where the loveh himself is modeh that the shtar is good, I don't care if there's no edim. His hoda'ah validates the shtar.
Yes. Beyond validation already.
Again, I don't care with according to Banshu Yomiyah, what's the shita? Modeh b'shtar. I don't need a kiyum. So therefore, this guy's holding toref. Let's say the loveh is holding toref. Or the Malveh is holding Torev, and this guy's holding Tofes, right? So therefore, the deen is what? How do you split it? So the Gemara thought originally, you're cutting the star in half. I'm cutting the star in half. What am I doing with a piece of paper? There's no value to do such a thing. El Lepshar is, you look as if this guy's holding a star with Torev, and this guy's holding a star with Tofes. How much can you get for these starot over here? I'm holding Torev, I can get much more. Because there's a date. Date allows the guy to collect even from property. Oh, Mashiach Tofes, he could collect from a Tofes because it reviews all the terms. It reviews all the terms. But there's no date. Therefore, can I get as much money? So the one that holds the Tofes has to pay the difference of how much the guy could have sold it. What the holding the Tofes? Stop. And don't ask me a question. What do you mean? The Tofes guy could collect nothing. Because on the Tofes, there's no witnesses. But don't go to the Bachelor and go to the Yale, which is this case here, where the loveh is modeh. Yeah, the shtar is legal. I just paid it. Oh, so therefore, once already he is more there, so the shtar doesn't need a kiyum. That's as if there is witnesses. That's the way the Gemara gives the explanation. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, V'yachloku. Just one more case over here. V'yachloku namid Amram. Oh, go back to our Mishnah. What do we say in the case of the Mishnah? You have talit. Shnayim u'azim b'talit. What do we say in the Mishnah? Yahloku. So what do you think? You're going to split the talit in half? What are you going to do with half a talit? You ruined the whole item. Yeah. So the Gemara says, v'yahloku nami da'amran lidmeh. It means lidmeh. The value of it. Di'i lo temache. Because if you're not going to say that, which means, I review back. V'yahloku nami da'amran, which means when the ban Shimon ben Gamliel, I'm going back, said in the case number one, where they're both holding on to a shtar, this guy's holding on to a tofis, and this guy's holding on to a toref, so what'd you say? Yahloku. Right? That's talking about lidmeh. Which he's always talking about over here, where you're splitting it. Like we just said.
Yeah.
And I'll prove it to you. You don't tell me, okay, because you're not going to say this. What are you going to say? By the talit, vaday, it has to be for the value. Because otherwise, if you're going to split the talit in half, it's worthless. Come on, that's no proof. No, I can cut a talit in half. Half a talit is worth something. For a katan.
Nice.
For a minor. Which is, if that, you have no ra'ayah from the case of al-Mishnah, that is damim.
Mm.
Talit, I can say you actually split the talit in half because it's ra'oi for a katan. Gemara says, we learned on the other daf, talit mushevet, if talit has had gold strings on it, right? Holkin, hachaname de palgela, what are you going to split the talit of gold? Afsedua, you're going to ruin it over here, and you cannot say it's ra'oi for katanim because it's not the debt for katanim to wear gold. So what are you going to do? You're going to split the talit to give it to a katan?
No.
There's no katanim that wear gold. Ela must be that you're selling the talit for the value.
No.
Yeah, a katan who's a prince, you can split the talit, he wears gold.
Nice.
So therefore you have no raya. Oh, but I'm bringing a raya from our Mishnah. We said, well, two guys are riding on an animal. Or one guy's riding on an animal and one guy's leading the animal. So what do we say? Yahloku.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? You're going to split the animal? Well, maybe if it's kosher animal, you can split it. So the Gemara says, "Hakename de pargela." We can split the animal in half. Ha'afsedua. Now, bishlama tehora hajel basar. Yeah, if it's a kosher animal, yeah, you can split the animal in half. Each guy gets meat. Ela temea ha'afsedua. What are you going to get? This guy gets half a hamor. This guy gets half a hamor. You, there's no value. Ela lidme. The Mishnah must be talking about why in an animal case you're splitting it for the value. So too in the case of Tofis and Toref, you're not splitting the shtar per se, you're splitting the value of it. How do you split it? The chiluk between Tofis and Toref, that's what he pays. One point of clarity, just to speak it out. You have a shtar, it's $1,000 shtar. But when they come into Beit Din, each guy's holding on to the shtar. One guy's holding on to Torah, one guy's holding on to Tofis. The bunch of them, his name was what? Yahloku. He comes along and says what? Split it. Simply we understood split it. Split it. Well, there was one logic. Hey, cut the shtar in half. The Gemara says impossible. You're going to cut the shtar in half. What's the value of that? So the Gemara says, no, I mean, just split Yahloku. So we assumed 500-500. So then what's the difference if he's holding Torah, Tofis? What's the Hiduk? So the Gemara says, no, Toref is more valuable than Toref, Tofis, because Toref is the part that has a Zman on it. If I would go sell the shtar to somebody else, if it was a shtar that had a Zman on it, I could get more money. So let's say I could sell the Tofis for $600.
Yeah.
A shtar of 1,000, I can sell for 6 with a Toref. And without a Toref, I can only sell it for 4. So there's a $100 swing between the one. So therefore, if the Malvez that's holding the Tofis, normally we store Toref, I mean, Malvez holding the Toref, I would say 500-500, plus give him another 100, because he's holding the Toref, so he's able to get another $100, because he's able to get 600.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give him 5 plus. If the Lover was holding the Toref, so therefore it would be 500-500, but only pay 4, get $100 back. Because since he's holding the Ikar part of the shtar, he would be able to sell it for more. So therefore they give the difference to each other. That's the way the Gemara concludes. Baruch Hu Alei Olam Amen.